It's the Mike Tech Show, show 487. This show is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcast.com. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics. My email address is miketechshow@gmail.com. You can leave me a voicemail message, and I have two voicemails for tonight's show. The phone number is 240-949-2450, and that's Mike Tech Show, all one word, on Skype. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/MikeTechShow. Also, Facebook, facebook.com/MikeTechShow, but like the Mike Tech Show page, and that is Mike Nation Net on Facebook. And, of course, we have the wiki, and that's at mtswiki.com. I have two stories from the trenches that are tips to help you if you run into this situation. I have some fixes that a virus that I came across, an infection, and then an interesting log on problem for a Windows 7 laptop trying to log into the domain. And when I tell you what fixed it, at first you're going to be like me, wow, I can't believe it fixed it. But then you really got to think about it to put it together. When I tell you the fix, it looks like it had absolutely nothing to do with the problem. So I'll describe that. Then I have two voicemails, a couple emails. But before we begin, let's take care of business. Instant House Call is the best service for remote support, and a feature that comes with Instant House Call, and this is built in, and it's great. It's the Auto PC Repair by D7. And one of the things that you can repair is customers accidentally delete important files. And when they lose something important and you are able to undelete the lost files, you are an instant hero, and you now have a customer for life. And that is a feature, just one, that you get with the Instant House Call Auto PC Repair. And you can try it free for 15 days by clicking on the link on the left-hand side at miketechshow.com. Click on the Instant House Call link, the ad on the left-hand side. Sign up. Use the promo code MikeTechShow, and you're going to get a free 15 days to give it a try. One of my clients, their laptop crashed, and the Windows operating system, they had no data that they cared about on it. They needed it to be redone. And we weren't sure whether the hard drive, there was a problem. So this is a Dell Latitude. So I went through the diagnostics that are built into the BIOS, which I always recommend. If you have a Dell or an HP, use the diagnostics. It's not an end-all, but at least it gives you a quick insight if there's an obvious hardware issue. On the Dells, I like this because all those bad hard drives that I've been running into, sometimes Crystal Disk Info isn't enough. And sometimes Crystal Disk Info, it'll tell me that there's a warning that it's going bad, but you want to make absolutely sure. And if your Dell system is under warranty, it's always good to run through their diagnostics so you have some ammo when you're calling them. Well, I ran through the diags, everything checked out. Crystal Disk Info, everything checked out for the hard drive. So I just wiped the system, reinstalled Windows to really the factory default. And then one of the admin assistants, what they will do is put the custom software that's needed onto the laptop, and they will announce it to the domain. And they will put their Office 2010 and configure everything the way they need it for the company. It saves them money to have me do that. That's a couple hours of work. So I turn the laptop over to the assistant, and she gets to a certain point. She gets it announced to the domain, and she now is trying to log on to the domain as a non-administrator, but the account is a local administrator on the laptop. So she logged in as the network administrator when she got the computer announced to the domain properly, and then put the account that we want to log in, that user account, into the local admin group. She tries to log in with the network credentials that we absolutely know are correct, and it says the username or the password is incorrect. It's like, this doesn't make any sense. So she calls me, and I'm making sure, oh, I bet you she's not using the right slash or backslash. She hasn't properly put the domain in front, the domain name in front. So she types the domain name, slash the username, puts the password, will not go in. Yet she connects properly with the domain admin account. The administrator account on the domain, it works perfectly. So now I'm thinking of the way I set this laptop up. There's a piece of information that was missing here. When I set up the laptop, I created an account called user, and I set it to no password because I wanted to make it easy for her to just log in and not have to worry about creating a temporary password for this account that really doesn't mean anything. And I handed her the laptop. As I was Googling this, I found that if you have any accounts with no password set, you can have this problem of not being able to authenticate. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. But I said, you know what? I call her back. I say, log in as the domain admin. Go to the local users on the laptop. We right click and create a password for the user, the account called user, and also the account called administrator. Once we set the passwords for those two local accounts, logs off, and she's able to log in with that user's credentials. I know I'm saying it, and I still don't believe it. But if you are going to announce a computer on a domain, you cannot have accounts on the system that have no password. At least in the state that I had this system, that it was not on the domain, it was a work group, and then it was announced to the domain, only the network administrator was allowed to log in with domain credentials. No other account would work until we set the a dummy password to the local account user, the local account administrator. I know, and that's why I'm sharing this. I guess if you start to think about, even when you think about it, it just really, it doesn't make complete sense. One of those things that, you know, you make a change, it doesn't seem like it's related, and it fixes the problem. And that's why when I read that, I actually read that article, I was like, wow. And I'm going to link this article that I found on a Microsoft forum. Well, that was one problem that I ran into this week. Another one, I received a laptop, got a real emergency phone call from a client. It's not a retainer client, but it's a sort of someone I socialize with in a networking group. And their daughter came across an infection that would not let them do anything. And I'm just keeping my fingers crossed, hoping that it wasn't CryptoLocker. And he says, I don't think it's CryptoLocker, but when you try to get rid of it, they do want money in order to get your system back. This infection is called the Windows Efficiency Console. I could not get in safe mode. This is Windows 7 Professional, and I was surprised at my options. It wasn't the typical advanced options that you normally see when you hit F8 right before Windows boots. All I got was safe mode with networking, safe mode with command prompt, or normal. Actually, safe mode with command prompt wasn't even listed there. I tried safe mode. Nope. I would get safe mode with networking. Nope. Regular mode. Nope. You were blocked by this console that was asking for you. If you click on anything, you would be then prompted to give up a credit card for money in order to clean your system and then allow you to continue. The good thing here is this did not encrypt any files. So this was just a ransom to kind of hold you up in getting your, you know, making sure that you couldn't do anything and just kind of holding you hostage. Your data is safe, but you can't get to anything. I was almost going to remove the hard drive, take it to another computer, and that was going to be my last step. I finally got F8 synchronized to a point where I was hitting it, where I got the option for safe mode with command prompt. I guess the second link here for tonight's show is a link to bleepingcomputer.com, their removal guide for this infection. You need to download this registry fix. Once you get this .reg file, you need to put that on a USB stick, boot to the command prompt, go over to the drive letter that corresponds to the USB stick that you attach to your system, run the .reg, this command, the remove vines, REM vines, .reg. Once you type that, it'll say, would you like to merge this to your registry? You say yes. Now you reboot. You could just go into straight regular mode. The infection is gone. And now you can install and run Malwarebytes. I ran that. It fixed, you know, found 8 or 9 more things, cleaned it. And then I was able to begin my normal routine for cleaning a system, you know, JRT, Adware Cleaner, CC, you know, C Cleaner, made sure that they had their antivirus updated. There was something else that I noticed on the system. The Windows firewall was broken. I tried a couple programs to fix it, and they would not fix. Another link that I'm going to include is bleeping.com has a program that when you have this problem where the firewall doesn't work, there's a service that can't start that you really need to have corrected, and it's the base filtering engine. And if you look at your services, when your firewall's broken, you'll see that that service is not started. So you need to run this program, and that'll fix the base filtering engine. Once that's fixed, now the Windows firewall service can start and your firewall's okay. There's a couple things that I was getting too dependent on the tweaking.com's all-in-one repair tool. And slowly, that has been disappointing me in fixing IE, fixing the firewall. I had a share problem that the fix is right there. It should have fixed it. It's not fixing everything. So I would use that as a crutch a little bit, as a one-stop shopping fix for a lot of repairs. I'm seeing that it's not repairing everything. Keep that in mind. You're going to have to go to other methods that are very specific to the individual problem. And this firewall problem, I've ran into this a couple times. And when you run this program, it's going to help. And it's just like that Fix IE utility I talked about last week that just saved me an Internet Explorer problem where it just wouldn't work at all. And I tried everything and it just wasn't working. A couple great fixes here to arm you as we go battle with all these problems. Let's get to some voicemails. And the first one was left a couple weeks ago by Kate, and I couldn't get to it, so I'm getting to it now, and it's a follow-up to a couple things.
Hi, Mike. It's Katester, Kate Eels, calling from up here in snowy British Columbia, Canada. I'm calling about the podcast that was posted last night or this morning. Today is the 14th of December. Two things. First thing, number one thing, I think it's Tazcool is looking for some help with Vista, also known as Windows Mail, and bringing that into, I think you said Outlook. There's nothing different about Windows Mail, Vista Mail, than Outlook Express or even Windows Live Mail in the context of FABs not being able to help much. You can back it, it just goes into a folder under the username, the same way that Outlook Express does. It's just in a, it's not under Outlook Express, it's under Windows Mail. Same thing with Windows Live Mail. There's no trick to saving that folder, even with FABs. I'm not sure where he and his colleague are having an issue, and maybe that's bringing it into Outlook. And there I defer to someone else's expertise. But if he needs, if he's trying to do it with FABs, that's probably not the smartest way to do it. I know they're your sponsor and everything, but even FAB says that's probably not what you want to do. I can help with that. I have successfully brought Outlook Express into Windows Live Mail on a new machine, and Vista / Windows Mail onto a new machine, just not into Outlook. So I don't mind collaborating with them on that part of it. I'm not sure, like I say, where they're falling down. So if you want to put him in touch with me, best way to do that is to have him shoot me an email at help@computercarecolona.com, and I will see if I can help him and we can Skype or whatever. The second thing I want to mention to you, because I know you're picky about your audio, is that you have an open mic somewhere during your podcast, because during the rant from Brian, we could hear you coughing. And also at the end of the podcast, we could hear you talking over the outro music, and you probably don't want that. So you've got an open mic somewhere, and my guess is that it is almost certainly going to be a mic on a webcam that you haven't turned off. Like I say, if you need to listen to the podcast to hear it, it's the British guy, I think his name is Brian, ranting about Windows 8.1, where we hear the coughing. And right at the end, like the last 45 seconds or a minute, we actually can hear you talking to the folks in the chat room. You might want to have a look at that. I hope this reaches you, and I hope you have a very Merry Christmas. Thanks, Mike. Take care.
Thanks, Kate, for that voicemail. As a matter of fact, I think the open mic was when I was recording everything from Skype. Now, Brian sent me that file, that MP3. So you're right, there might have been an open mic somewheres. And you're right, I'm looking at three webcams right now that are all on. And I'm noticing I think this is part of the sound problem I'm having, where I'm using Ustream Producer Pro, and they light up all the mics and all the cameras at the same time. Even though I only have one active, I think you're right, I'm picking up mics that I don't have control over. Also, I got to be careful of what mics are open when I'm recording a voicemail from Skype that I'm going to play. Your voicemail tonight had coughs all the way through it. I'm going to re-edit and apply that voicemail again back into the show before I post it up. So I got a lot of editing tonight. Kate, thank you very much. And Taz, I hope that Kate was able to give you some insight to the problem. If not, let me know and I'll put you in touch, or just contact Kate with her email that she mentioned in her voicemail. Here is a follow-up to the gentleman that had the problem with the blue screen of death every time he tried to install Windows, and we received that great voicemail to change the BIOS, the controller for the drive, and that fixed it.
Hello, Mike. My name is Charlie, long-time listener. I wanted to thank the person that called about the blue screen of death trying to load Windows. I took his advice, and it worked. So whoever it was, I just want to thank him, and I want to thank you for having such a great show. Have a nice day. Bye.
Thank you, Charlie. I really appreciate the follow-up. Before we get on to, we move on to emails, give a listen to this promo.
Hi, this is Ken from Hacker Public Radio, inviting you to join us for our third annual New Year's Day marathon. We will officially start when Christmas Island hits 2014 and continue on uninterrupted through each time zone for the following 26 hours. This event is again organized by the HPR volunteers as a service for the entire amateur tech podcasting community. So we would be delighted if you and your listeners could join us. To wish everybody a happy new year, share your best and worst tech moments from 2013, or tell us your tech predictions for 2014. You can join in the conversation on the Mumble server, or you can tune in to our OGG and MP3 streams to listen live. For more information and live updates as they happen, see our main page on Hacker Public Radio. We're going to be starting at 10 in the morning on New Year's Eve, right through to noon the following day, all UTC time. That's a whopping 26 hours, so you're bound to find some time to come in and say hello.
This email is from Jeff, and he says, "Hi, Mike. Listen to the show regularly and love it. I look forward to downloading the podcast after each show. I have a printer router question about my small office, which I need help answering. I own a Xerox Phaser 8560 MFP network printer, fax and copier for my small office at home. The printer is quite large and bulky, so I'm going to move it to the second floor in the house to gain more work and living space on the main floor. This will unfortunately cause the network printer to be out of cable hookup range of the only router I have in the house. I do not want to drill holes in the floor to run a cable through the floor. The printer does not have built-in Wi-Fi and requires a network cable to be connected directly to the router in order to be available to all computers in my house. What can you recommend for me to solve the problem of making the network printer available to the home network if it can't reach the only router in the house? I would appreciate any and all suggestions and advice. There's got to be a Wi-Fi print server that can be bridged to your regular network. So you're looking for a wireless bridge, and Winston just put that right into the chat as I was answering this. You want to find an affordable wireless bridge that would connect to your network, and it will have an Ethernet port that you should be able to plug into it. And since it's part of the network, there's your answer. I'm not a big person in wanting bridges, but this is one instance where that is the answer to your problem. So, Jeff, hopefully that will help. Let me know how you make out. This is from Brian. This is a follow-up to the Windows 8 versus 8.1. I've had nothing but problems with 8.1. Initially, it seems to work, and then a few days later, the computers just bog down. The only computer I've been satisfied with using 8.1 or RT 8.1 actually is the Surface 2. I had to wipe two of my computers and set them back to 8.0. Once I wiped the two computers and set them back to 8, I then upgraded them to 8.1 before adding any applications, and they now both work pretty well. I have three computers that have 8.1 now, and I like having them all on the same operating system. Thanks, Mike, and Merry Christmas. Well, Brian, thank you for sharing that. Now, that was interesting. He totally wiped it, brought it back to 8, and then went through the pain of upgrading again. So I'm wondering, well, you know, you can't make this global statement for everything, but I'm actually considering that on my main laptop, where I've had a lot of slowdown issues still with 8.1. Only I'm thinking going back to 8 and staying there and not going to 8.1. But you make a interesting point where did something go wrong with the initial 8.1 upgrade? Microsoft really has to work this out. Please, please, Microsoft, come out with an 8.2, or let's get 9 out there and let it be like more Windows 7-like. Let's have the Metro interface as an add-on that if you want that, make it part of the Essentials package, that we can choose whether we want that or not to be able to have that if we want a touch screen. Let's have the main operating system without these options. We want the start menu back. We want that Windows 7 style start menu. We want that. Supposedly that's going to be happening, so let's see. We need this sooner more than later. Server tune-up. This is a really excellent question here. Hi, Mike. You do a lot of Windows Server work, so I wanted to find out what you do to keep your servers running good. I know how to clean up and tune up a workstation with all the tools you have mentioned on the podcast, but what do you do for a slow-running server? The typical server I'm concerned with is Server 2008, working as a file server, and an Exchange server, SBS 2011, for about 20 users. No other software is on it. Maybe a couple of tips of some major things to look for would be great. I have an article that I'm going to put into the show notes that is a batch file that you can run to clean up the logs and lots of places to gain space. I use this on several servers that I support. I don't have any tools to recommend to do a tune-up, and I would like to hear from all of you that support servers what you do. What I do is make sure the event logs are clean. Each week, for retainer clients that have servers, I will check all of the event logs and make sure there are no errors that could impact any performance or any applications running on the server. I look at those events, I research it, I apply whatever fix or change or whatever has to happen to get rid of that error. I also look at the hardware logs. For example, HP, the HP software management tool that runs on the HP server, make sure everything is green lights for all the hardware and that there's no memory or power supply issues or any kind of controller issues. They'll tell me the state of the firmware, whether any firmware needs to be updated or drivers need to be updated. So you want to look at the hardware manufacturer's software, making sure that everything's up to date. You want to check your event logs and eliminate error, and then look to where you can clean and save space, especially your C drive, and especially on SBS, which is notorious for claiming all your space, and that is event logs that are left unattended and have not been pruned. Don't run the batch file that I'm going to link. Don't just run that because it's there. Take a look at exactly what logs that it's going to be cleaning and make sure that it's valid for you and your client and that particular server. And then apply that, and then you're going to find you're going to be okay. Make sure that your software is up to date. All your applications, anything that you're running on the server, make sure that all the updates are being applied in a timely fashion. If you do that, I don't know what other tools you would need. This is what I do to maintain and support a server. If there are other tools that you're using out there that you can share with us, that would be great. I would love to cover that on a show. Let me know what you're using, what you recommend outside of what I've just discussed. And I would really appreciate that. I hope everybody had a great holiday. I'm recording this on December 26th, the day after Christmas. And I had a great holiday. Looking forward to New Year's. Want to thank everybody for using my Amazon link, amazon.micnation.net. I want to thank everybody for continuing to use that, and especially everybody who used it for the holidays. And remember, for those people that you haven't gotten gifts for yet, or that you still have to get a gift, an Amazon gift card is a great present. Use my link. Thank you so much for your support for the show. I really appreciate it. That's it for the final show for 2013. I will be back next week, January 2nd, for recording the next Mike Tech Show live. Follow me on Twitter and Facebook for info on the New Year's Eve show. Carrie and I should be doing a Tech Vets on New Year's Eve. That's it. Have a great weekend, and I will see you next year. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.